Welcome to Rethink, the Skilled Nursing News Podcast. I'm Jack Silverstein, director of the SNN Content Studio, and I'm very pleased to have with me today Eric Palm, Chief Growth Officer at Provider Partners Connect Care. At just 35 years old, Eric is part of a new generation of healthcare executives shaping the future of long-term care with a blend of innovation, empathy, and real-world experience. Provider Partners Connect Care is a value-based care organization focused exclusively on long-term care. Its high-needs ACO REACH program is a purpose-built, value-based care solution created specifically for Medicare beneficiaries with complex health conditions. Eric leads the program's growth. In today's conversation, Eric shares how his team helps long-term care operators and clinicians make value-based care work in the real world and addresses some of the common misconceptions that still surround the model.
Eric, please introduce yourself and what you do and where you're from.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jack, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here to talk about myself, but also Provider Partners and value-based care and where the industry is going. So first, to talk about maybe a little bit about myself, and maybe not too much, but started in the long-term care pharmacy space, spending nearly 15 years early on in my career, working in a sales and account management function, working directly with facilities, owners, and operators, but then evolving that career over time to being a more of a leadership-focused role, solving the challenges that operators are ultimately bringing to the table, working through transitions of care, technology, EHR, negotiations on pharmacy contracts. And that ultimately led to more of a pharmacy audit and consulting work for a couple of years. And through that, realized working directly with operators, really fixing and creating solutions was really a passion of mine and really ultimately what I enjoyed. And as I was feeling kind of coming to the end of my pharmacy experience and time and tenure, I was looking for new potential opportunities. And I had always heard iSNFs, value-based care, Pop Health, but I never totally understood it. And so as I was thinking about what's next for me, I am always that type of person that is a early adopter. I am totally that guy that orders the new iPhone every fall, the minute it's available to order, and I get it. And that's who I am, what I do. It really drives me day to day to be successful. And so as I started learning about value-based care in the industry and iSNPs and ACOs and CMS's mandate to move all traditional Medicare residents into a value-based care arrangement by 2030, I said, hey, this is an opportunity to work with the owners that I've worked with over the years and I've built relationships with, bringing a new solution to them that they ultimately need that aren't participating in today. So right now with Provider Partners Connect Care, which is a high needs reach ACO, I lead both the growth and the partnership side, which essentially means I get to help the long-term care providers through the value-based care strategic decision-making and actually work on solutions that are built around the world and built with the realities of what they have to deal with day to day. So, yeah.
So, Eric, I appreciate you explaining what Provider Partners is. But you're a 35-year-old chief growth officer. 35 in your role, maybe is on the younger side for a healthcare C-suite executive. And considering that we're in the business of aging, your respective youth compared to your C-suite peers is, I would say, a benefit for how you will set the course of both PPCC and the industry at large. You talked a little bit about your journey into the space. Give us the landscape from your perspective. What is it that you see, and where does your age factor into what you see and how you evaluate what you see?
That is a really good question. I've always battled that age is just a number and doesn't ultimately mean how effective someone can be. And that mentality has changed over the years as a younger leader in the pharmacy space, managing folks that were 10, 20, 30 years older than me, is a struggle. But ultimately, the industry as a whole has a long way to come in the idea of technology and enhancements. And when I started in the pharmacy space, and we're still faxing prescriptions back and forth to the pharmacy, it just totally blew my mind. And so helping bring new advances to the industry through technology and value-based care and what we can do there, and bringing these organizations into the 21st century is really a passion of mine as an early adopter, right? Change is inevitable in this world. And as someone maybe on the younger side, can help drive that and drive change long-term in the industry is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned provider partners, Connect Care. You position or they or you all position yourself as specifically an ACO for long-term care, offering an expert-led program to make value-based care work. What inspired that focus, and why was long-term care the right space for this team to commit to so fully?
Yeah, so we'll go through a little bit of a story here, but then ultimately I'm going to come full circle. So just hang on.
Do you, man?
Try not to make this too windy.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, go ahead.
So our founder and chairman is Dr. Scott Rifkin. He started early on in his career as a physician, turned medical director, turned nursing home owner and operator. And as a part of that, he identified some gaps in the industry as he was a physician and owner and said, hey, I need help with analytics. I have a long-term, long-stay population that I'm maybe breaking even on, maybe making a little bit of money on, but there's an opportunity here. And so he essentially started creating solutions. And these weren't academic ideas. They weren't boardroom, whiteboard sessions. They were literally on the ground developed ideas. And so as part of that, he started some ancillary businesses. There's an analytics platform. And then ultimately one of them was an ISIN, Provider Partners Health Plans, PPHP, that the industry may recognize as kind of the name that they have been called for the last 10 years. That today is currently the largest independent ISNP in the country, but ISNPs aren't ideal for everyone. It's a multi-year rollout, high risk, high reward opportunity, but it's not right for everyone. And so in 2022, when CMS introduced the idea of high needs ACO reach, our team got very excited around that idea to say, maybe there's an alternative solution for a quote unquote value-based care plan for the industry. And so they applied for a license, awarded that license in 2023, which was the first year that any high needs reach conveyor of the program could participate. So we were one of 14 high needs reach licenses. And of those 14, there's a very small handful that actually have taken a model and built it into the long-term care space. Most of the models are much more community resident home-based models, where we took it and said, this is actually a really good solution for long-term care. And so these high needs reach ACOs, I always like to remind people that these ACOs are not like the traditional standard hospital ACO or ACO models that they've seen over the years. This is truly built differently for long-term care. And we do it different from everyone else in the industry. We partner with your physicians or nurse practitioners that are in your communities today, but we also incorporate the operator. Historically, ACOs have come in physician-led, and the operator may or may not know that there's even an ACO in the community today and have residents aligned. So we come in kind of as a three-legged stool, bring the entire three parties together to create better outcomes, overlay some of our technology analytics platform, and provide some remote RN care coordination. Obviously, we chose to take this model and bring it to long-term care because we understand it. It runs in the veins of who we are and what we've done. And we believe if we can do it right and have done it right, there's going to be a massive impact in the value-based care and long-term care space. The long-term care space is where the most complex patients live. And yet it's been one of the last areas to benefit from actual thoughtful value-based care designs. So we spent some time with CMS trying to change the mold of what's actually going to be happening in the long-term care. But everything we've built is designed to fit around how long-term care communities actually operate and not how someone from the outside should come in and think how it's done. We've done it, we've built it, and we've been very methodical around how we roll it out and create a very effective program.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, you, of course, have spoken with hundreds of long-term care leaders, both one-on-one and, you know, from event and conference stages. Do you still hear confusion or any hesitation around value-based care? I mean, it's one of those terms that it's said so often that people almost put it in a box where they all think, oh yeah, I know what that is. But then when you open it up, you haven't looked at it in a long time. You haven't been forced to define it in a long time. You haven't been forced to articulate it in a long time. And then maybe you start to have questions, or maybe just you can articulate it and explain it perfectly, but just from, you know, just as a model, maybe people still have questions. Are you hearing anything that shows that confusion or hesitation? What are the biggest misconceptions that come up in your conversations?
Yeah, it's amazing coming into the value-based care space, the ACO space. And I thought I was kind of behind the eight ball in this conversation. And as I've talked to many, many operators and their teams, there's a lot of uncertainty into the entire program as a whole, and rightfully so. So with all the administration changes that have happened, all the CMS changes, is there a staffing mandate? Is there not? Maybe it's on, maybe it's not. Who knows? A lot of back and forth. Everyone's focus is driven different directions. And some people hear the term value-based care and assume it's all risk-based. There's a ton of reporting, ton of denials, ton of prior authorizations. You got to filter through all the red tape. And what we're doing at Provider Partners Connect Care is really the exact opposite. I've worked with a lot of groups that think they've got to completely overhaul their entire operation and clinical model to participate. And some people even question their ability to take over the proverbial wheel and take ownership and sit in the driver's seat on the ACO model. I met with an owner that they've got, I don't know, 40 buildings in the Midwest and Southern states, and they just were totally defeated around the idea. So like, I can't be involved. I don't want to be bothered with it. And said, just call one of my doctors and they'll deal with it. And I said, no, you've got to really understand the concept here of what we're trying to do to ultimately create better outcomes for your residents to live happier, longer lives, drive some financial responsibility back. And as we evolved that conversation there, they really understood the idea. And the truth is, when the program is built specifically for long-term care, and you're not trying to stick a square peg in a round hole, it can enhance what they're already doing, not create something new or totally replace it. We've got some partners that actually are already have really strong clinical outcomes today and aren't taking advantage of an ACO. And now that they do, they perform wonderfully in the program. So once we can kind of open up the idea and open up the conversation about your value-based care options and what that looks like, we can bring actual real shared savings, but ultimately reduce the hospitalizations, ED visits. And once we kind of show them the clear path and the steps, most groups jump head first and just want to get the program rolled out across the board.
Yeah, definitely. That's good to hear. So tell us a little bit about MSSP, because clinicians are increasingly familiar with it and operators are now comfortable with I-SNPs. And I always make a mistake in stating, even when I'm reading it, I stumble over it. So it's another one of those acronyms we hear a lot about, MSSP, and then we'll get to the real question that I want to ask you.
Yeah, so I call it the alphabet soup. when we start ACO, MSSP, LTC, iSNPs, IESNPs. The acronyms are just ever more confusing as you kind of evolve through this through the process. I like to give a total background, and I could not today because we'll be on here for 2 hours, but a total background of EMS's strategy over the last 20 to 25 years, rolling out MSSPs, and then what is CMS's CMMI, their innovation wing, doing to evolve what started as essentially the Medicare Shared Savings Program. And so we like to walk them through, get a good familiarity with, what is CMMI trying to accomplish here, and provide some clarity. I think what is missing for a lot of groups is transparency. Transparency is key. And we probably are overly transparent, maybe to a fault, but we are okay with that. Because when we come to a true partnership with transparency, it makes everything way more effective.
Definitely. So with that said, a high needs ACO reach, this is still gaining awareness. With only 14 of these ACO entities nationwide and the impressive savings that are behind them, why should long-term care leaders be paying attention now?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So historically, for the last, 10 or 12 years, MSSP programs have been around. They are physician-driven, and they've existed without much interaction from a nursing home or owner-operator or assisted living program. So when CMMI rolled these out in 2023, the high needs ACO reach program is designed specifically for the exact population that lives in long-term care today, the frail, medically complex patients who need more than the traditional primary care that the broader population needs. So the ACO, high needs reach, offers a unique balance, providing financial upside and clinical flexibility a lot of times without the overhead or structural need of operationalizing a health plan. So the high needs acronym that is so valuable in this conversation with these operators really means that CMS allows us to operate with a concurrent benchmark and essentially, based on the exact needs of that resident. So we target the long stay Medicare population, which is a majority of the population that lives in the traditional nursing home, working with them to provide better care, reduce ED visits and hospitalizations, allowing residents to live longer, happier lives. And by the way, that is a direct quote from a caregiver that we talked to about 2 months ago. She said, "My mom in an ISNP and an ACO has lived a longer, happier life in a nursing home environment," which really spoke to what we're trying to accomplish here. So we're about 2.5 years into building out the program since it started in 2023. And really what that means is, as maybe not an early adopter, but a mid to early adopter, gives an opportunity for someone to get involved and help shape how this program is going to be built for their organization, their culture, and ultimately their structure.
Thank you so much. So Eric, value-based care has come a long way from models that, barely accounted for the needs of complex care patients to ones like high needs that are built for those patients. As the landscape continues to evolve and does so at this rapid pace, how does your team stay ahead of the curve to make sure that you're driving real results for providers and the residents they serve?
Yeah, so it's a multi-pronged approach. We have done a really good job of provider partners to build out a very diverse team. So we've got a broad mix of clinicians, physicians, nurse practitioners. We've got a pretty strong team from a hospital health system. We have a healthy population of analysts and operators, like nursing home operators. So we've got that side of the expertise, which means we're looking at the broader picture and what we're trying to accomplish, but with different aspects, right? So we're not just an operator trying to drive results. We've got the health system background, We've got the PCP background. We've got the operator background. And it just looks at the big picture in different aspects to drive the day-to-day details and the results. We have to stay, because this industry is changing so rapidly year to year with CMS and CMMI, we have to monitor performance in real time and adjust as we go year to year. And as part of that, we have to stay close with our current partners and be overly transparent. Transparency is key at this point into building strong long-term relationships. We also just don't assume that what has worked last year is going to work this year, or what worked 3 years ago is going to work this year. We're constantly changing our care management model because this space changes so fast, is so incredibly highly regulated that we've got to stay on our toes and optimize our care management platform across the board. We recognize that no two skilled nursing facilities, no two senior living facilities are the same. So at the end of the day, we have to be agile as an organization to help our residents and our facilities drive better outcomes.
Well said. So speaking of which, for long-term care providers, you know, financial sustainability, this is essential. It's not something that they can, take a pass on. Is there a standout result that you're especially proud of that shows how the team's work led to a meaningful improvement in a partner's financial outlook or their stability?
Yeah, so we can really look at it both ways. I mean, ultimately in this industry, because everyone works on such tight margins, financially, we've got to be beneficial for the operator, but also clinically. So one great example is when we started working with a group of facilities, they've got about 22 facilities. When we did some comparisons with them and sat down and said, here's your average hospitalization versus the nursing homes that are close by, you're running on tight margins in this population of residents, how can we change that and drive different outcomes? So they've essentially seen a greater than 20% drop in avoidable hospitalizations. You're always going to have the hospitalizations, but how can we find and track through analytics and some of our technology platforms the avoidable hospitalizations, monitoring the subtle changes over time? And so just that 20% is honestly more, but just that 20% drop led to a very substantial six-figure shared savings opportunity for that operator. And that money just isn't theoretical. It went back into staffing and care improvements, remodels in the communities. And so it really was a win-win, which is what we're always aiming for. Better outcomes, but really for the residents, and a stronger bottom line for everyone that's involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about risk. This is a word that comes up often in value-based care conversations, and it can sound intimidating. How do you and does PPCC talk to providers about risk in a way that makes it feel manageable and that makes that manageability maybe even feel empowering?
Yeah, so risk is a big word out there in the industry. And are you at risk? Are you not at risk? Are you comfortable with it? Are you not? And frankly, it sounds pretty intimidating. And so we offer a pretty low risk solution, essentially no risk coming in and working with the operators, just because of how effective we have been over the first 2.5 years of our program, seeing really good reduction in hospitalizations, ultimately beating the CMS benchmarks. So we're not just handing you a bag of risk and walking away. We're working alongside them with tools and data and risk stratification to help back up kind of our clinical results that we've seen. When you have the right systems in place, ultimately everyone starts to feel a little more in control. So when we have really engaged partners taking advantage of the clinical analytical opportunities that we have, we really turn into managing the population versus reacting to crisis after crisis. And that's when risk turns into savings and stability. And ultimately, this entire program starts to feel more empowering to the operator.
Absolutely. Well said. You know, Eric, partnership. This is another key word. We had risk. We've got partnership. Partnership can mean a lot of things. What does it mean in your world? And how do you help? And again, how does PBCC help providers and clinicians know when they're truly ready for value-based care?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. There are clearly partners that have some going through acquisitions, M&A, that maybe aren't ready, but the vast majority of those that we talk to are ready to jump in at some level into value-based care, whether they're going to dive in feet first and get really involved, or kind of, you know, look at the ACO opportunity as a, you know, let's look at this subsection of homes and have a rollout plan over time. And that's fine. To us, partnership means we're in it with you. We're not just going to check in every quarter. We want to support the operator. We're here to troubleshoot, provide some education and coaching, and make sure things are working day in and day out. Our team and our RN care coordinators are going to be engaged with the clinical team on site and the physicians and nurse practitioners that are in your communities on a weekly basis as we create clinical interventions out of some of our analytics that we're pulling out in real time. We are reaching out to them, and that really works as a really good, solid communication platform. As we begin the conversation or move through the conversation on whether someone's ready or not to join some form of value-based care plan, it is not about having everything perfect. It's more about having the right mindset. So we have a group today that we're launching with and working towards an October 1st kind of kickoff and go live and attributing lives on 10-1. They also decided to handle an EHR transition in and amongst that, which, you know, for everyone listening, oh my gosh, that is quite the thing to tackle. And so we really have a integrated timeline and a solution around timing and how we execute against that to work with them on some of the data and the technology needs that they're going to have for moving from one vendor to another, because we ultimately rely on that. So how can we integrate today? And there may be a gap as they move vendors, and that's okay. We'll work with them on how we're doing that. So we really want to focus on being agile as operators are coming around and exploring the ideas of value-based care. So if an operator cares about outcomes and wants to do things differently, we'll help you get from really just being curious around value-based care to ultimately being very confident around value-based care.
Eric, this has been really illuminating, and I just want to thank you so much and thank provider partners that care so much for coming on with us today. If someone listening today remembers just one thing from this conversation, what should it be?
Ultimately, just remember that value-based care and ACOs is a very good solution to work towards that CMS deadline of 2030. And they need to just find the right partner. And it may not be us. And I think that's okay. We hope it's us, but it may not be us. You just need to find the right fit and the right partner and the right track in the value-based care world. And as an operator, we really encourage that they take the proverbial wheel, the driver's seat, and own the conversation around ACOs, because they work in long-term care. You've just got to be knowledgeable about how they work and how you can operationalize it. There's three things you're always going to get from provider partners: transparency, transparency, transparency. We're willing to talk to anyone about any of the programs and which one fits the needs of what they're going to need ultimately as an organization. So really, from the next steps, we encourage anyone and everyone to reach out. We'll have the conversation. We'll sit down with you, talk about ISNPs, ACOs, and talk about what matters most to you as an organization and whether our model as a high needs makes sense for what they're ultimately going to try to accomplish. So just a conversation can be the start of something better. So we just always encourage to reach out and have a have a conversation.
Absolutely. Well, that was great. Eric, thank you so much again for your time. This was really helpful. What's the next step for anyone who's interested in learning more about PPCC, about your ACOs, and just overall on where they can go next in long-term care and in value-based care? What should they do?
Yeah, so they can always find Eric Palma on LinkedIn. I think my contact information is relatively public for everyone out there. But also, you know, they can reach out to us on our website, providerpartnersconnect.com, and they can simply request a meeting through there, or, you know, start talking to your industry mentors and others in the industries. And I'm sure they've got contact information for us. So there's really three avenues to get in touch.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And I hope everybody enjoyed the discussion.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you so much to Eric Palm, Chief Growth Officer at Provider Partners Connect Care, for joining us today on Rethink, the Skilled Nursing News podcast. For more podcast episodes, visit skillednursingnews.com/podcast.